And with that, not much of an overture at all, begins the dramatic Tosca, Giacomo Puccini, opening the Opera San Jose season next Saturday with 5 additional performances through the 29th at the California Theater on South 1st Street in downtown San Jose. Puccini's classic tale of a beauty being pursued by a beast of a man, rendered as the villainous Scarpia and sung in San Jose by Matthew Hanscom. The title role will be co-sung by Elizabeth Baldwin and Olga Chemisheva, who will be making her company debut. The heroic tenor, Cavaradossi, in the person of Kirk Doherty, was scheduled to join me in studio today, but is under the weather, wisely preserving his energy and voice for the upcoming performances. However, I am very pleased to welcome back to the KLW Studios music director and principal conductor of Opera San Jose, Joseph Marchesio, to talk about the production and upcoming season. In addition to serving as principal conductor for Tosca, Maestro Marchesio will lead the company premiere of A Streetcar Named Desire, which was co-commissioned by the San Francisco Opera with music by Andre Previn, and which had Renee Fleming in the role of Blanche at its 1998 premiere. San Jose's performances will be this coming spring of Streetcar. Mr. Marchesio has conducted 14 productions for Opera San Jose, is also staff conductor and cover at the San Francisco Opera, where he was at the ready and worked on productions of Showboat, The Flying Dutchman, the San Francisco premieres of Jake Heggie's Moby Dick and John Adams Nixon in China, as well as the world premieres of Mark Adamo's The Gospel of Mary Magdalene and Tobias Picker's Dolores Claiborne. Joe, welcome back to KLW.
Thank you very much.
Very happy to have you on such short notice as well. Well, to start the new season, you can't go wrong with Puccini, can you?
Never. Never.
There's a lot going on there. We can't assume that everyone listening is familiar with the operatic classics, so maybe you could give us a Tosca 101. It's got everything. Politics, lust, sacrifice, murder, take your pick.
It does, and it has... Tosca is an opera singer playing the role of an opera singer, so it almost has a kind of reality TV aspect to it, as someone almost playing themselves, a diva who plays themselves. And naturally, when you have an opera that's centered around a diva, that is going to be a very popular character for singers to want to portray on top of its celebrated music and its... dramatic characterization.
Well, there's a bit of operatic intrigue involved in Puccini securing the rights for the story, isn't there?
Is there?
Well, what I learned...
Please, share.
...is that the writer of the story, Victorien Sardou, originally gave the rights to a composer by the name of Alberto Franchetti. But Puccini's music publisher, Ricordi, wisely, and thanking the rest of the world in hindsight, went to this guy and said, look, you don't want this story. You're not going to make anything of the story. And Puccini just snapped it right up right after that.
Really? That's because I know that they had the situation with Bohème, in which he and another Italian composer both wrote a Bohème to compete with one another. So obviously he went back to the well to continue... preempting other composers from taking his subjects.
Well, like I said, posterity is all the better for it. Now, it seems to me that that's quite a difference between... I've had contemporary playwrights on before who talk about their play, but they don't want to give anything away. In the operatic world, we go in, for the most part, opera lovers or even people that are a little bit familiar with music history, go in knowing exactly what's going to happen.
And they, of course, also print the synopsis in the programs.
So that's a big difference.
I know when I go to see operas that I haven't seen before or don't know about, like Fanciulla, when I saw it, the first time I ever saw it was a couple of years ago when San Francisco did it. Adriana Lecouvreur, I saw a couple of months ago. I had never seen the opera. I try not to know anything about it going in. And an opera like Tosca, which has such a twist at the end, you kind of do yourself a little bit of a disservice if you know how it's going to end, because it must be the most unusual ending of at least a mainstream general audience opera that there is. And it's also so famous and such a classic ending that you don't remember. Vertigo was a movie I hadn't seen until I was a lot older, and I saw it when they reissued it maybe 10 years ago. And similar kind of ending in a way. And I remember just being absolutely blown away by that ending. And I wish that people who come and see Tosca would also leave not with that kind of surprise that that is what actually is going to occur and not be waiting for it.
Hmm. Speaking of surprises, is this going to be a straightforward setting? Or are
yes.
we have contemporized it?
No, it is. Yesterday was the first tech in the theater, so it was the first time that I got to see the sets, and I can say that they look absolutely fantastic. But they are rooted, clearly, I guess, 1800. I guess is where it takes place.
And Rome being such almost a fourth major character in the
yes.
piece.
Yes, and it's an opera also that is difficult to, because Puccini really dictates a lot of the particulars from the setting to the timing, so it's hard to get out of. I mean, people kind of put it up to fascist times, and there's been some interpretations of it later, but it's not an opera I think that really benefits from that kind of reinterpreting. It carries the story absolutely the way that it is done. And I'm not a purist by any means.
And it's so well-crafted. It's so compact and
extremely taut. A little over two hours with two intermissions because there are three acts. I guess it's about 2.5 hours all told. First two acts are about 45 minutes each, and then the second act is about 30 minutes, 25 minutes.
The great conductor Herbert von Karajan was quoted once as saying that every conductor should do Tosca once a year to get all his aggressions out.
Wow.
Because there's a lot of evil music
well,
going on.
Well, he certainly had a lot of aggressions to get out.
You've got such a strong orchestra to work with. I have to give a shout out to my dear friend Isabel Chapuis.
Oh, I saw her yesterday. We had our first music read yesterday afternoon. And yes, she is wonderful. I love her so much. And she's been with the company, I think, from the very, 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 very beginning.
Mm-hmm. And tell me about your creative team for this particular production. Or are they all involved with the whole season?
The singers are, for the most part, we have a resident company. And so we use those singers for each of the shows. But for example, next opera we're doing is Figaro. And there's many more characters in Figaro. And so above and beyond the residents, we hire guests for each of these. Elizabeth, as you said, is a guest. Both of the Toscas are guests because our resident soprano is not a dramatic soprano. She sings Gilda or Michaela or the Countess. But when we chose Tosca, we recognized that we would have to go out and find someone specifically for this role. And Olga came in having been recommended by someone. And we had never heard her, and we were blown away by her intensity. She has that kind of very specific Russian intensity and focused wildness that, for me, is a necessary precondition to consider doing a Tosca.
Joseph Marchesa talking about the Opera San Jose production of Tosca coming up beginning next week with performances through the 29th down in San Jose. You mentioned briefly that Opera San Jose is a repertory company, which is unusual in the United States, isn't it?
A resident, yes. Yes.
A resident.
A resident company. Each season we have a group of residents and also associate residents that come for 1 year or multiple years, depending on what seasons we're planning and where they are in their own lives and journeys. And they sing in all four productions in various capacities. And then to complement that, we guest out the other roles and we work through it this time. Sometimes we, like Elizabeth Baldwin, who's singing the last two Toscas, she was our first lady in Magic Flute, which we did the previous season. So we still have connections with people that we have come back, even if they're not formally residents.
And you must have some very conscious efforts to reach out to younger audiences.
Yes, well, we have outreach productions, and we have educational productions that we coordinate throughout the year to go to schools and to go to various community groups to do either operas or scenes, or yeah, we'll do smaller operas that are written expressly for that purpose. Or but there is, as almost every company has to have, an effort to pick up the slack in music education that has been kind of sloughed off in the traditional educational environments.
Mm-hmm. Well, more power to you for getting those newer audiences involved in such an amazing art form.
It's an absolute necessity.
Let's get back to, well, before we end with an excerpt from Tosca, let me ask you about you're now in your second year as artistic director, music director.
Music director.
And are you still doing work with the San Francisco Opera as well?
Yes, I was on Troyen in the summer, and in October I'll be on Meistersinger. So I enjoy it. It's a good division because OSJ, you get a lot of more standard works and works that aren't 4+ hours, 5 hours, because that would be a real killer. And so to get the opportunity to do Troyen, which is an extremely rare opera, even under the most international conditions, or Meistersinger, which is, you know, 5 hours long, is not something that gets to come your way. So to have that balance is something that I'm extremely grateful for.
And as a cover conductor, you have to be ready at a moment's notice and to jump into the pit, as well as you're doing preparation.
Yeah, a staff conductor is... There'll be shows in which the conductor, for whatever reason, won't arrive for the first week or 10 days, and they'll need someone to do the rehearsal during that period. There was one show that I worked on in which the conductor had a nervous breakdown, and they had to scramble to find another one.
Wow.
So the institution needs to be able to rely on someone who'll be able to do it while the mishigas of cast changes and international schedules become realigned.
Let's say it's operatic, to be
indeed.
Sure.
Indeed. And as a music director myself, I appreciate that now as someone who also is alert to these kind of things that can happen in your own company.
Well, we wish you a fantastic start to this one.
Thank you.
With Tosca by Puccini. Set up, if you will, one of the most memorable arias from Act Two, Visi d'Arte.
Which Puccini, even though it's extremely famous, he was considering cutting it because he thought that it stopped the action, which we can only be glad that he didn't. And this... Tosca has been emotionally and psychologically, you know, brutalized by Scarpia, because he wants both to have her carnally and also to reveal where this traitor is that her lover is hiding. And she's trying to refuse to give this up, even though she can hear them torturing him in the other room. And at one point, she reaches her breaking point and sings about how she has lived for art and love, and how could God have done this to her, given how righteous and generous she has been in her life.
Let's hear that now. Not before I thank you for coming in, Joe, and I wish you a fantastic performance.
Thank you very much.
As well as Streetcar coming up.
Thank you.
In this recording, we're going to hear as Scarpia, Carlo Gelfi, and as Floria Tosca, Fiorenza Ceralins, Visi d'Arte.
Oh!
Fiorenza Che Dolins, in that recording conducted by Zubin Mehta of Visi d'Arte from Puccini's Tosca at Opera San Jose, operasj.org, for more information.